What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Tell B Cox he got a number one record, but we still need him up here, though. Let's go to B Cox and his number one record, everybody. Yeah. Let's go to B Cox.
Twin, you where you been, Twin?
Throwing off the camera balance.
Is there ever balance?
Ladies and gentlemen, I need y'all to make some noise real quick. We making noise for a room full of amazingly beautiful black people in the city.
There's
that
white
we celebrate.
Too.
What?
Yeah, there's a few white people.
They black, we all black, KP. Let's get into the origins of the origin.
He's been drinking. KP's had tequila.
Celebrating Atlanta, man, 4-4 day, 4-4 week, as we continue to put it together and continue to evolve through this thing. I'm very, very pleased to have this conversation that we're going to have today. Let me introduce myself. My name is Torrey. I'm one half of the Hard to Earn podcast. You might hear me on SiriusXM. Wrote a couple of your favorite songs. And today, man, as you can see, to the left and to the right of me, we have some of the most incredible people in the business, in the culture, and we're going to have us an incredible conversation. I would do a disservice trying to introduce everyone and all the accolades. So I'm going to give everybody just a brief moment to introduce themselves to the audience who may not know them. We're going to start on my right, ladies first, all the way down.
You want me to stand up?
You're not right there. You good.
All right. Well, I am Miss Shanika, a.k.a. Miss Atlanta, just as of yesterday, 404 day. Ryan called me Miss Alabama, but we're not going to pay no attention to him. I am a radio personality for over 20 plus years. Well, I would like to say media personality because I do TV as well. And I am just, you know, trying to land some big things, working on some big projects right now. And I'm happy to represent the ATL.
Make some noise.
Hello. My name is Ryan Cameron. I'm from Atlanta.
That's all you got for the people?
Hey, man, you know, I'm just glad to be here. You know, started my radio career in the early 90s. Started Hot 107.9, started 97.5. Many people have started their careers, you know, with me. And, you know, I'm just glad to be here. Hopefully we can drop some wisdom, you know, as we celebrate 404 weekend, you know. And I'm just glad to be here. You know, if you've ever gone to the airport, you might hear me now. I'm the voice of the airport. Most people recognize
I was looking for my luggage.
That's one thing, you know.
Traumatic.
Please don't sex traffic. That's one of the things I want to remind people not to do that. Don't try to get on the train when the doors are closing because the doors will not reopen. So, there you go.
Make some noise from Ryan, y'all. Yay. We're going to skip and go down to the man with the number one record in the country who has an empty bladder, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, my name is Brian Michael Cox. I'm a songwriter, producer, DJ, party curator. I do a little bit of everything. I'm a Renaissance man. That's what I like to call myself. I've been in this business for a good 25, 26 years. I've been in Atlanta since 1997, so I'm officially an ATL-ian, you know what I'm saying? I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
No doubt. Make some noise to B. Cox, huh?
My name is KP. KP the Great. I'm a DJ, producer, I'm Grammy Award winning songwriter, I'm from Atlanta. Yeah, that's me. And I do A&R too.
Incredible. Incredible.
Go KP.
Make some noise to KP, y'all.
Falana Williams. I also moved to Atlanta in 97 from Houston, Texas. Atlanta runs through my veins. Been in the business, entertainment business, for a long time. I now serve as the director of the Mayor's Office of Film, Entertainment, and Nightlife under the 61st Mayor of Atlanta, Andre Diggins.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
Give
like
it
I
up.
Signed Falana.
Give it up
my
for
fellow
the
H-Town sister.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Brandon Butler, most well-known, the founder and owner of Butter ATL. We do a lot of stuff around the city from a culture and content standpoint. A lot of the 404-day events that y'all are experiencing this week, my partners, myself, and the 404 Collective, we put that on. And so we've been shutting it down. We do a big thing. We also have a 404 Fund. We support nonprofits and kids and have a lot of different initiatives. Then I also, a lot of people don't also own a creative agency with Shaquille O'Neal called Majority. We were just named the number one creative agency in the country. Just won a ton of awards.
Oh, yeah. Give it up for that.
You know, just try to do cool shit, man. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And I saved this gentleman for last because you all know that we are here taping the God Show, right? Make some noise.
Let's go. Let's go. Hey.
Yeah.
The genius behind that, the man with all of these incredible thought pieces that go out that generate so much conversation in the culture. Today, you are all blessed to be a part of this conversation, so I definitely want y'all to react to what you're singing and hearing and have a good time as we get this live podcast off the ground. Without further ado.
What's up, everybody? I'm Ray Daniels, music executive and now media executive. I moved to Atlanta in 1991, October 19th, 1991. And I know for a fact that I wouldn't be anything without this city. So when we were speaking about doing this, I'm like, we have to do it. And we had to have the right people on the stage. I've looked up to everyone on this panel. I was telling Ryan Cameron, I remember moving here, and Ryan Cameron was Ryan Cameron was the fucking man in 1991.
Thank you so much. Thanks, but, Ray.
But yeah, I just love this city. I love this place. I love black people, and I love seeing us being empowered, and I'm just doing my best to show us that we have value. I've sat in a lot of powerful rooms, and I know that the most powerful people are watching what we do and figuring out a way to monetize. And I just felt like I would be, you know, not a good person if I don't bring that back to my people and tell them they have value. So that's the whole goal of what we've been doing at the God Show, just showing us that we matter and us that if we change our perspective, we can change our lives. So I hope you guys learned something important from this, and let's get to it.
Absolutely. So make some noise, like I said, man. This is an outside, as I look into the audience, just a room full of incredible people. So definitely make sure you network. So we have officially been welcomed to the God Show. The theme of this conversation today is Atlanta, how it started versus how it's going. Now you've seen that all over social media, whether it be photos or people talking about their careers or talking about, you know, their humble beginnings to their come up. And so we want to get into that conversation as it pertains to the ATL. So Ray, let me start with you. As someone who made the transition many years ago, talk to me about how Atlanta was and how you see it in present day.
It was like a hidden gem. I mean, it was like, you know, like I'm from the projects in the Bronx, like coming to Atlanta and you're seeing two-parent households and everybody. And it was like Atlanta was the shit, but didn't care. It was like Kilo was our biggest artist and we celebrated him. It wasn't like we was worried about what New York thought. We also celebrated New York. But the thing about this place was that it just felt like anything was possible for someone my skin color. And I've never experienced that. And I've traveled the world and I still have never seen nothing like what this is today. The fact that we all got an Andre named, a mayor named Dre, and I have his phone number, not because he gave it to me, like I was watching an interview, I'm sorry to put New York on blast. I was watching a Breakfast Club interview and I saw how this young lady was talking to their-
Drilling him.
Like it was almost like, damn, did I do something to you? And I remember watching, I said, we would never do that to Andre. We would never, because we understand that if we embarrass him on any platform, we embarrassing us. So this is a city of unity. So once I saw that, I knew that I could be anything and anything was possible, and that's why I'm here.
That's amazing. Brandon, talk to me about where Atlanta is today, how you've seen it evolve and change.
I mean, Atlanta's a special place, man. We always say, you know, Atlanta's not a real place. And, you know, when you think about it, it's not, right? Like, in the sense of, I always tell people, the moment you get off the airport in Atlanta, just look around for a second. You will never see that many black and brown faces at all.
And white.
Levels.
The only
and
KP white, said we got
to. All people, but at all levels, right? From the pilots to the stewardesses on the plane, to the people that are working, to the people that are traveling, all the way up and down, right? And I think when you grow up in that environment and you see that every day, you just think that's reality. You think that anything is possible. I know for me, like growing up out here, building my businesses, building things I've worked on, I've just felt like it's always been possible. All you really have to do in Atlanta is just do it. And Atlanta will support you if you build it and you do it in public and you're honest and authentic about it. And I think that's what makes this place so special is when people see you doing the work, they see you showing up every day, they see you being your authentic self, this city will embrace you and support you. And that's just special. I know it's not like that in a lot of other places, but that's why, that's just continued to be like that over the years. You know, even again, for me growing up, I didn't grow up in the music business out here. You know, my degree is in computer science. I was a web developer, but I always saw folks like Brian Michael Cox. I always saw people like KP. I used to intern for Ryan. I don't know if he remembers or not. True story, I literally sent Ryan 97 copies of my resume when I wanted to get my first internship. I went and got none in. He said, fax them in. This is a true story. He said, fax in your resume if you want to be an intern. And I said, man, ain't no way in hell he's going to see my resume. So I literally got 97 envelopes, 97 copies of my resume. I put them all in the mail. About 2 days later, he called me live on air and said, stop sending me your resume. You got the job.
This is the original. This is spam before you could spam on Instagram. That was the original spam. You brought up a point about what was down with the mayor in New York City and how we have a mayor named Dre here in ATL. Falana, talk to me about what happens in that office and how you've seen things continuously evolve and your part that you play in it.
Sure, and I want to kind of expand on what Brandon said too, because one of the best things about going into that airport, you see black and brown people throughout it, but the gift of Atlanta is that you go behind the curtains. Like, who knew that there was an executive office in the airport? I didn't know that until I came to Atlanta. And you get to see that. You get to go behind the curtains of all these big positions that we typically don't get to be a part of. But when you go to an executive office and see people that look like you in every part of the business, including the airport, with a general manager that's a brown person, with an assistant general manager that's a black female, like, you don't see that most places. In the way that our young people can dream when they're young, it really changes the scope of what they envision for themselves long term. But and then when you go to City Hall, there's not many places where, you know, we are now the sixth largest metro city in the country, and that's a huge feat. And, you know, having someone that not only looks like you but is of this community, Atlanta has had over 50 years of black leadership, and that means a lot. Because the opportunities and the understanding that comes with that is invaluable. And it really does open the doors for our community. Like, just, I'm a long-term entertainment executive that works in the music business. But to have someone like Andre in that position who pushes forward, we're working on the World Cup now, you know, all of the film industry, music industry, is not just about those companies coming here to take advantage of our tax incentive. It's also about making sure that we are bringing back to the citizens of the city and that they're learning about all of these jobs that typically don't happen here. You know, when we were younger, we had radio, but we didn't have big label positions here like we do now, and it's more. And there's a concerted effort to get these major companies to continue to move here, not just the record companies, but also the movie companies, the production companies, so that with those incentives, there are jobs that stay here long after that incentive goes away. We have a foundation in brick and mortar businesses that's helping to uplift and elevate the city. Atlanta drives the culture around the globe, but what's more important and what Andre stands on is making sure that what we give to everybody else comes back to the people of Atlanta.
Incredible. At the One Music Fest last year, when Jeezy was performing, I look over. First of all, Andre introduces Jeezy, which is crazy to have the mayor introduce the artist of that magnitude. As Jeezy was spitting every bar, every line, every verse, Dre was right there. Every line, every bar, every verse. Like, you know, that's a testament to how ingrained in the culture everyone is, from
the top all the way down to, you know, somebody who might be displaced on the street, you know, ingrained into this fabric of ATL. And when we speak about that, I can't help but to think about my brother KP, who waves the flag no matter where he is in the world. KP, talk to me about some of your most memorable moments in the A.
Okay, most memorable moments in the A. I gotta say, coming up, like, I'm born and raised here. I'm the age of hip hop, so I'm like, I feel like I'm like the most Atlanta hip hop nigga here. So, but I've seen the city grow into, you know, something that didn't exist until now, the cultural epicenter, right? So for me, it starts at Freaknik will be the first memory of like our virility, our going viral to the world, where people came, you know, obviously the AU has always been there, right? But that this is the time that I saw it. And seeing people come to a city, be comfortable enough to want to come back, be comfortable enough to not want to leave, you know, which is a big deal, right? To be welcomed, if you had something to offer to the city welcomes you. And I say Freaknik. And then I probably say One Music Fest 2019.
What was special about that one?
Because I headlined it. Okay. But
hashtag be great.
But you know, but I headlined it with my friends, like, and it was such an Atlanta moment. It's, you know, Usher, Crime Mob, Jock, Dro, shit, Ariel, Monica, Outkast didn't come, but Outkast was there in spirit. Let's see, just seeing, and even bringing Pharrell to the city. It's and him acknowledging what Atlanta looks like to him from a person from Virginia who's obviously traveled the world, but still has never seen a place where Black people control and contribute to so much in the city. So, you know, those two would be my big memories, but it's like Atlanta itself is the big memory.
Absolutely. As we move through the conversation and the topics, I just want to make sure I give everybody an opportunity to jump in if you have something specific that you want to say, because I want to try to keep the conversation going forward, but definitely don't want to exclude you if you got something that you...
I'm going to just say this. I think...
New face.
I think one of the most incredible moments in Atlanta history, and I was telling him this last night, that's why I'm going to say it, was when Pastor Troy dropped. Mm. That era of Pastor Troy, that was the era that turned Atlanta from, like, you know, kind of like, we happy to be Atlantans, to like, I'm a down South Georgia boy. It was just like, we was, you know, we was like supporting Master P and Cash Money, and I'm right. Like, they was like our heroes from the city, and then Pastor Troy drops No More Play in GA, and it just changes the trajectory of everything that happens in Atlanta from there. I just want to make sure we give him props because, you know, Troy bit a lot, and he deserves to wear that belt everywhere he goes.
Absolutely. Champion for real. Y'all can make that, some noise for that.
That is not the original belt. I just want to go on record and saying.
New Face got it.
No, I got it. I got it in my office right now.
Word.
Pastor Troy lost that in a softball game. He went out and got a replica. So that shit he carrying around right now is not the real belt, and we're going to have a challenge, and the loser got to move out of town. You know, hip hop started when I was at V. We only had played rap music for 2 hours on Friday, the Fresh Party, and then on Saturday. So, you know, when it was me and Dangerous, Darren Fears, and before Hot 107.9 and 97.5 started, it was what music was called day party. The only time you heard hip hop music was after dark. And so to see where it's come, and I don't know, KP, you know, as the queen would say, recollections may vary about you being the oldest hip-hop cat in here. Cause
I didn't say oldest.
I'm the oldest. All right, I'm the pop-pop of the hip-hop gang.
I said I was born in 1973.
I was 50 years old by the time you was born. So, I mean.
Have a yeek off.
Yeah, right. Oh. It was a yeek off when you were still in Pampers. You know, playing the first TLC record on the radio, Monica being discovered at 12 years old in my talent show, Ludacris being my intern, you know, B being the intern. I think the one thing about Atlanta is we've always been the Mavericks. We've never tried to fit in with anybody else. And that goes from, you know, Dr. Joseph Lowry to Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, so one thing about us, we never tried to be anybody else. When somebody said, you know, when Beyonce gave Andre 3000 a shout out the other day, it proves again that Atlanta influences everything. Because who would think that a man could just go and pick up a flute, learn how to play it, and then all of a sudden the shit go on tour? That's so Atlanta. That's the most Atlanta thing ever. And that Killer Mike will win 3 Grammys and then get arrested. That's the most Atlanta shit ever. You can't get no more Atlanta than that. Because the first thing I said was, that sounds like some Atlanta shit right there. You know? So, I mean, for me, man, being here, and me and Miss Shanique was talking about Miss Atlanta, she calls herself, is the last time we was here with Ray. He had a panel, and it just ended up turning to a WWE event at the end because people just... It just went crazy. So
we care so much. Atlanta shit.
It was incredible.
We're not gonna do that today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm glad we're here at the Topping Hotel, and it seems very eclectic and fine. And I'm drinking my sparkling water. And you know, Pastor Troy, Master P was the headliner for Birthday Bash. Birthday Bash started off at the Variety Playhouse in Little Five Points. A lot of people don't know that. Like now that it's in State Farm Arena, but it went to Lakewood Amphitheater. And Lakewood Amphitheater was the premier venue. As you see now, it's sort of some, and I'm going to go on record to say, it's sort of some re-gentrification going on now. There's only 5 concerts at Lakewood this year. They're now all out in Alpharetta and in other places. It's almost like they're trying to kill it, you know? And so in that year, Pastor Troy got taken off Birthday Bash because Master P, that whole No Limit Studios and that whole bit became such a huge phenomenon in the Atlanta area, but everybody was chanting, "We ready." Yes. And so Master P and I were backstage, and he was like, "What they saying?" And I was like, you'll see. And so, but that was the whole No Limit Soldier, the gorilla, the camouflage. But Master P and Pastor Troy will never laugh at the same jokes because it is one of the most iconic periods of time where black people who are afraid of heights actually climbed up the wall at Lakewood Amphitheater and rappelled down and jumped over that wall, which is probably about...
Ryan, I was one of those kids. Were you up there? I snuck in that birthday bash.
Yeah, it's about... You did too? How tall was that wall, man? It's about 16, 17 feet, man. And you see just people just dangling down coming into the birthday bash. It just shows the iconic appeal of what hip-hop has meant to the city, man.
I was going
to
tell you about that part. I referenced that because... You know, when you grew up in Atlanta, you know you had Hitman Sammy Sam, you had Kilo, you had Kizzy Rock. We had all the artists we love, Raheem. But we loved them, but we still played Memphis and Texas and UGK. We still did that. That's what we celebrated. And I remember being at that birthday bash, and it was the first time I'm a kid, but we had pride in being from Atlanta. So I remember Timbaland performing, and Slick Rick was performing. I remember Slick Rick was performing, and every person that was on that stage, no matter what they was, we all was yelling, I don't care if Timbaland and Magoo was performing, and Eddie Ford, "We ready," and everybody was stopping and be like, "Yo, what is this?" It was almost like we only knew, but no one knew, and then we knew Master P shut him down. Everybody, you knew in the city, because he was the headliner that year, and when Goody Mob brought that, because you know, you didn't know what he looked like that. This was before social media. You just saw an album cover. So you didn't know who he was.
We knew at the school, though.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? But like you, but first of all, Michelle Nigga, I was so far in the back, I couldn't see nobody's face. So
that part.
They just stopped the show and said, and pointed at this guy, and we was like, "Who is that?" And then when that, when that shit dropped, I've never seen a moment like that in history. It was like Lakewood was rumbling. It was really rumbling. Crazy. So for me, I feel like that was the moment. And I remember going to BCR that year, Black College Reunion, and you know, the Florida boys was playing Trick Daddy. That's all he was playing was Trick. And everybody from Georgia was playing Down South Georgia Boy. That was the first time we had pride in being like some hood niggas, I guess I want to say. Like, that was like our first time. So that's why I got to give him that.
Amazing, amazing memories. And you know, more history is being made with Lotto headlining Birthday Bash this year. So let's give it up for her for that.
Yeah.
Man, Atlanta is the melting pot, right? We've already, through these various tidbits of the conversation, talked about different parts of the business and how things kind of all come together here. But let's talk culture, media, entertainment, politics, government. What makes Atlanta so special in regards to how people are able to come here or be from here and move into all of these different parts of the world and their professionalism, you know, like the street guys, the ladies with the business sense, the people that have startup money, the people that have an idea with no money, the people that want to be in government, the people that want to be in entertainment. Ray, talk to me about how Atlanta is able to produce such a myriad of successful people from all walks of anything you could think of.
Atlanta is the only city where you can touch anybody in the city at any level, no matter who you are. If you need to get to somebody, you can get to somebody. You're one. It's not like 6 degrees of separation. Everybody's one person removed, one phone call removed from getting to whoever they need to get to. But this is going to sound crazy, and I know my panelists is going to say I'm tripping, but this is just my thoughts. I think Atlanta, we're so respectful to each other because we know everybody got guns. No, I'm being dead serious. Like, the fact that everybody has guns, it kind of be like, I don't know if I want to fuck with you. I know this guy has a gun on him, and I know it can go bad. So it's kind of like we just let each other kind of groove. We respect each other. And then there's two Atlantas, by the way, that we have to acknowledge. There's our Atlanta, and then there's New Atlanta that just moved in. New Atlanta, if you want to tell somebody you're New Atlanta, if you live in Buckhead, you are New Atlanta. I just have to tell you that. Like,
period.
We don't, like I'm from College Park. My house is in Fayetteville. Like, when you from a side of town, you stay in that side of town. Like, if you from Southwest, you living in Southwest. So if you in the city, like, we migrate to the city. We come to the city. We gonna come hang out in the city. But we gonna drive outside 285 to go live our life. So there's a New Atlanta. People who come in for opportunities, and that's great. But let's just keep in mind, if, like Brandon says, something very important. If you come here with good intent, we will love you. As long as you're not a scammer, you're not hustling, you're not stealing.
Scammers,
no, because that's a whole nother.
Scammers be winning, though.
But they winning, but they not winning with us, though.
It happens to you.
Hold on. The thing about Atlanta, you can always find a good scam. It could be like the smallest scam to the biggest scam, but we all doing something to make
everybody
it to the next.
Okay.
We all doing something.
You scamming?
No, of course not.
Listen,
I'm talking about other people.
The most embarrassing job I've ever had. I was going to say this. The most embarrassing job I ever had was I used to sell pornos in front of the discount mall.
You know what?
Like, that's the realest shit. By the way,
this panel just took a turn.
I would see my friends.
Very early.
No, but here's the thing. But here's the thing. I would see my friends, and they would buy from me. They was like, oh, man, 2 for $5, 2 for $10, man, I'm going to buy from you. Like, it's a city where you could just hustle. That's all I'm saying.
I wanted to talk. As I believe it, and I may or may not know. Entertainment. When we talk about the radio space, the media space, obviously Tyler Perry having a studio out here, and what's happening in television and film space. Miss Atlanta, talk
yes.
to me about how you've seen things change, and why you feel Atlanta is the place that these things happen.
Okay, so Atlanta is literally the place that dreams do come true. I just remember as a kid, 7 years old, wanted to be Monica Kaufman. She's Monica Pearson now. You know, now she's been like in my footsteps, listening to Ryan. He's the reason that I wanted to do radio. Look at him right here, right by me, calling me Miss Alabama. I'm just saying, whatever literally I've ever wanted to put my mind to, growing up as a kid, listening to TLC, being empowered by them, being women in the industry, knowing Monica since I was 15 years old, and being able to see her like come up from something that she found, you know, as a dream, to be able to be who she is today, it's just an incredible thing. I remember my dad, when I was like in grade school, working on movie sets, and he really loved it, but it wasn't steady work because there weren't that many productions here in the ATL. And I'm just like, Dad, if you just could have waited a couple of minutes, you know, he's deceased now, but if he could see what's going on and the magnitude of movies and everything that's going on now, it's just incredible. I have been able to literally manifest whatever I wanted to come into fruition. So Atlanta is the land of opportunity. And I know a lot of people just, you know, they don't know how to, they play themselves off the street real quick because we don't like ungenuine stuff. Like if you come to Atlanta and you fake it on some bull, we gonna tell everybody you ain't nothing. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I just look at the old Atlanta. I can't really speak on the whole new Atlanta, but the old Atlanta, man, we kind of stuck together. We networked. Like, you know, to see KP, like somebody that I've heard of, like literally since I was probably in middle school, you know, to be my homie. I've heard of Falana for like ever, and to be able to touch and be intertwined with these people is absolutely amazing. So you can come to Atlanta. As long as you're right, you go get right.
I know that's right.
And to add to what to add to that, the connectivity is so important. And when you think about what Tyler Perry has been able to do in Atlanta, like this happens everywhere else. It just doesn't happen for us, but yes, it does in Atlanta. And so for everybody to see that in other cities, because, you know, we are the culture leaders. We lead. So people, Charlotte needs to see this. Memphis needs to see this. Houston, where I'm from, they need to see that what happens when there's connectivity, when a big filmmaker, creative producer like Tyler Perry can get land, the biggest production company studio grounds ever, not in Hollywood, but in Atlanta, Georgia, it's because of that connectivity. And even we just spoke about Killer Mike, what happened with him at the Grammys. Mayor Dickens actually happened to be out at the Grammys when it happened. So to have nowhere else with the mayor, they might go to the Grammys, but nowhere else with a mayor for the record.
Go bond somebody out.
right.
There it is.
Right.
But for the record, he was there for the African American Mayors Conference of Mayors, but we went to the Grammys, and for the mayor to be able...
Coincidentally.
So only connectivity in Atlanta with the mayor of Atlanta be at the Grammys when Killer Mike gets apprehended, wasn't arrested, gets apprehended, yes, and he is able to call one of the top board members on the Grammy board, who's also from Atlanta, and say, what's going on with Mike? She's able to get to the president of the Grammys. They're able to minimize that situation, and he gets to continue and enjoy the rest of the show and not be arrested. And that is what happens with connectivity. It happens a lot of places, but Atlanta shows the culture that when we are together, when we work together, when we know that this is a group project, what can happen? And not just from that level, but from all levels. There's so much out there for us that we don't know about, and we have to continue to educate and promote what can happen for our people, the opportunities for our people when we work together and when we know about these opportunities.
Well, I would say this, Atlanta is the place where we show this is the manifestation of what happens when Black people trust each other. And if we had that in every, I'm being honest with you, like we trust each other. Like, and that's what I want to say about this city. Black people just need to trust each other. I've never been around nobody.
Don't just trust everybody like that.
Right.
But
I said, that's why we said you got to be genuine.
No, no, no. I was going to add to what you're saying, but it really comes down to if you're a contributor, we will have your back. That's just what it is. It's like contribute, and if we understand your contribution is valuable, you get all the resources that come with that value.
I think one thing, too, and I know we have a lot of folks in the entertainment and space, but also, again, it's possible to build anything here. Like, there is such a massive gold rush going on right now in tech. And, like, what people don't realize when the pandemic hit, I told everybody when the pandemic hit, they just moved us forward 3 or 4 years. Like, think about it. My mom wasn't even using Zoom calls. You know what I'm saying? Now, all of a sudden, my mom is making Zoom calls. Everybody's working from home. People, all these new opportunities are coming about. So while there's so much we talk about entertainment, we talk about TV, and all that stuff is good, what I also don't want, especially, you know, the Black folks and all these, you know, our minorities and all this stuff to figure out is, like, there is such a massive technology gold rush going on right now. Yep. And before, you had to go to Silicon Valley. Like before Atlanta, you know, as my guy Bain always says, Atlanta influences everything. But before, if you want to like launch your career, you came to Atlanta, you went to school, you went to the AUC, then you had to leave. You had to go to New York, LA, Chicago, because nobody took you serious if you didn't go to one of those markets and like go kind of build your way up. Now, post-pandemic, you can do anything from here. You can build a massive business in tech from your bedroom. You can take, you know, advantage of crypto and blockchain. There's so many things out here beyond just music and entertainment that I also want to make sure people don't miss out. Because let me tell you something, these cats out in Silicon Valley and in Austin, Texas, and all these other spots, they're not missing out. And they're creating a big gap, right? So you can do this stuff now. It's totally possible.
I think the pandemic proved the biggest cap available. Because we all know somebody who said, I'm going to go, I'm going to write this book, I'm going to do this, I'm going to start this business if I just had the time. the whole entire world shut down for 3 fucking years. Right? And if you didn't do it, you was lying.
It was capping.
Because we couldn't go nowhere. You sat at home, and you didn't do shit.
And you still ain't write
and,
that
and you still ain't wrote it. But to the political question, you know, and this is a fun fact. You know, hip-hop has always been very active in the political scene. I wish the people that are on the radio now would understand that. Mayor Bill Campbell and the city council president, Marvin Arrington, were in a heated contest. They were both going to go into the mayor's race, and they had a debate on 97.5 in the conference room on Old National Highway. And back then, you know, the morning show was the only thing that people listened to because we were the epitome of hip-hop. And one candidate says something about another candidate being out and passing as being white. And that shifted the paradigm of the election. The election was decided because everybody was listening to the radio that day. There was no social media, but it was, you know, in this town, there's one company that runs everything. You know, Cox Communications, not Brian Michael, but Cox Communications runs WSB TV, WSB Radio, and the newspaper. So if you saw it in the newspaper, then you saw it on TV, and then you heard it on the radio, so everybody saw it. So once it became like the fodder, it changed the whole election. But that started in a conference room on Old National Highway when that statement was made, and it changed the election. So, you know, the one thing, you know, as I move on and talk about the city right now, what I want people to do is all the artists need to probably try to get together on some of these community service events. What's going to happen in Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're going to see 12 different turkey drives. You're going to see 12 different Christmas giveaways.
So many turkeys.
If you could just get together and pull that money and go to a Costco or go to a Walmart and get one, and Falana, you know this is something that we can probably do, and get everybody together, we could serve thousands and thousands of children and kids instead of me having one on the west side, you having one on the south side. That's the one thing we need to do is unify all of these superstar artists and just do one big-ass event.
No doubt. Make some noise for that.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect segue into talking about Atlanta's history as it pertains to civil rights. You know, so many of the liberties that we enjoy in 2024 that people fought for, that people died for, that the ancestors went to war for, Atlanta plays a big part in that, and I definitely want to get into that part of the conversation. Ray, just talk to me about Atlanta's history as it pertains to moving the entire world forward with race relations and culture.
I think it's what I said is this is a place where we all get along. Like, and by the way, we don't all get along. Like, we don't all love each other like unconditionally, but we all are going to show up for each other.
It's called we fucks with each other.
We have to. But
F-U-X but with each other.
But because we know, like, everybody up here is world travel. We know what the rest of the world looks like. So we come back here with more pressure. Like, nah, we got to keep this tight. Like, let me tell you something. You want to scare Atlanta? Say we about to have a white mayor. What? That's like, what? The whole city is going to. Am I tripping? It's like that scene from that Chris Rock movie. Though they said Mary Norbu about to win, it was like, hold the fuck up
nigga.
Now. Who we getting behind? Who are we getting behind? Keisha? All right, we behind Keisha then. We ain't playing that in this city. We know our power. We know that we have to maintain control. And we are all good with outsiders coming in. But you will play by our rules if you want to be one of us. Or you cannot be one of us. When Ryan Cameron says something, we will move, bro. I remember Ryan Cameron, it was something happened on the radio, and he was like, I need everybody in line to show up because there was something going on. And motherfuckers left high school to go show up to that shit. Cause you was like, big boy, okay, I need y'all up here. They trying to fuck with it. And it was like, we all went up. I used to hang out outside of Hot 97 because remember y'all used to have the Mickey in the morning. I was one of them kids hanging out saying, where Mickey at? And Hollywood would come out and be like, I'm from Old National.
Okay.
I'm from Gobby Road.
Okay.
We know we take
pride outside
the town.
I knew you weren't walking up to Citizen's Trust.
How it started, right? And anybody else want to chime in on the civil rights part of it?
I just want to say this. You know, while we was all celebrating 404 Day yesterday, that is also the anniversary of Dr. King walking out on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel and was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, along with all the things that we've accomplished, you know, we ain't gone that far, man, because, you know, that still upset the whole entire country. So, you know, as Brandon is trying to build this thing and we talk about having parades and all kinds of, you know, things that are celebrating, don't forget the history, man. And we still got a long ways to go.
Absolutely. And that's part of the conversation of how it started and how it's going. Did you have something you want to chime in, Brent?
Yeah, just, you know, Atlanta's always had a spirit of disruption, especially when you think back to the leaders. You know, we talk about the Martin Luther Kings, we talk about the Maynard Jacksons, right? But, like, these are the brothers that saw things weren't right and they wanted to fix it and they disrupted it. And you see that now, that through line just goes through everybody on this panel, mm-hmm. everybody in this room. Like, there's something about that sits in your spirit that says this could be different. Yeah. We could make a change, right? And so, you know, some people call that, you know, they call it the Atlanta way in some capacities, right? To where even again with some areas where, you know, the black and white populations in Atlanta like find ways to come together and work towards common things. You know, it happens, and even that has its challenges, right? But when you think about Atlanta, again, just it's always had this spirit of disruption. And, you know, if we see something's not right, you know, no matter how much we might, you know, do some other stuff or do some bullshit here and there, if need be, you will see how the culture collectively comes together and mobilizes just like that behind whatever the cause needs to be. And I just want to make sure with all the change that's happened, especially, you know, when all the new folks coming in town, you know, it's like when you go to a Hawks game, you go to a Falcons game, you always see more jerseys from the other team. Like, they play the Knicks. It's all these Knicks jerseys in the audience. You know what I'm saying?
I feel but seen.
But I just want to make sure that even when these new folks come to Atlanta, though, we don't lose that spirit of disruption. You know, that spirit of if something's not right, we hold each other accountable. We hold our political officials accountable. We hold the people with platforms accountable to make sure that the Atlanta way stays possible and keeps going so that this unique thing that is called Atlanta is able to persist and sustain as long as possible.
And for our kids, that's very important. Good clap for that. I want to shout out Richard Dunn. I remember Richard Dunn, his son comes, the intern for me.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For Richard, Richard's a legend.
Yes. Yeah.
Go, Richard.
It was a really beautiful moment. I was in a meeting with my finance guy who handles my money, and we was in a meeting, and Miles walked in, and he was like, and I just introduced him, like, yo, he said, what's up? I said, oh, this is Miles. And he was like, oh, what's up, Miles? And I was like, this is Richard Dunn's son. He was like, what? We've been waiting for you. That was so beautiful to me. He was like, yo, we've been waiting for you. And now he works at William Morris, but that's who we are. If Ryan called me and said, my son or daughter wants to do it, it's like, what you need, bro? Like, we showing up for each other and our kids, and I think that that's the most important part. This place is the dream of Martin Luther King. And we can't let this fall, because if this falls, we have nothing, no shining armor that we can point to say, look at how they do it. Because even when all that killing was going down here, when that one thing happened here, we was like, that don't happen here.
Right.
When they was trying to riot, remember T.I., Killer Mike is there like, hey, we ain't doing that. We not rioting.
Right.
So it didn't go as bad as it could have went in any other city. Because here we, you might be ready to fight, but if you in front of Martin Luther King house, like, yo, we're going to move down here and fight, because I don't want to fight.
Yeah.
It's just we understand, the magnitude of the city. We not like, fuck Martin Luther King. No, he ain't going to do that now. He ain't going to say fuck MLK now.
Well, no, it goes to the point of understanding what's your focus. I think we maintain focus during a lot of situations, because when you think about the political state of Atlanta, for a very long time, it's been run from, like, black up, which sounds crazy, but we have the ability to think about the lowest person as well as how to get to the top. So everybody benefits. So if you've never been a part of a culture that didn't have struggle, you don't understand that struggle enough to take care of the lowest person, because that person's going to take care of the highest person.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a secular thing.
For sure.
And I want to add a fact about the civil rights movement and hip hop. And this came from Dr. Joycelyn Wilson, who is a professor at Georgia Tech of hip hop studies. At the same time hip hop was being born in the Bronx, Atlanta was at the center of the civil rights movement. And that is important to note, because, of course, Black people from around the world, especially in New York, were watching this happen in real time. So it really makes sense for now for Atlanta to be the global home of hip hop, because although that first song was not made in Atlanta, Georgia, we really did affect what was happening with hip hop.
Absolutely. And now currently or future home of the World Cup, talk to me about the importance of FIFA coming into the A, what that means for the city, what that means for the economy, and all of these things.
So I want to do a public service announcement, because somebody broke it down to me and made it make sense. So I moved here 1 year after the 1996 Olympics that took place in Atlanta. And I always hear about how that really changed it for business people, how much money it brought to the city. The small business owner went from maybe having a small business to a large business because of the Olympics. So the way that it's been explaining, I saw Greg Clay. Greg, how many games do we have, 11 or 12? How many games do we have for World Cup? Eight? So eight games is like having eight Super Bowls. So imagine the economic impact to the city. So all of us, business owners, executives, anybody making money, which this is the home of making money, you should be preparing yourself for the World Cup, because we got a semifinal game, which we didn't expect to get. That's a huge deal that Atlanta got a semifinal game. But really think about it, like the 1996 Olympics, but even larger than that, because those eight games and those 4 to 5 weeks that those games will be here, it could really change the economic impact of our communities. We just have to prepare ourselves and be ready for it. So the city's already preparing. I know Bain said we have a lot of work to do. We know that. But, everybody get ready. Pay attention. I'm sure there'll be a lot of RFPs going out, but start preparing yourself for that. 2026 will sneak up before you know it. So RFP is a request for proposal, and the city puts out those for opportunities to become a vendor with the city or to do business with the city. So they come out all the time. You can actually go to the city's website and you can apply to be a vendor, and you have to go through the RFP process, but I would do that too. But outside of that, just prepare yourself, all you business owners, entertainers, lots of opportunities coming. If you have a big idea, put it together now, because 2026 is going to be a big year.
And expand on that. Just make sure the idea is big enough that it could actually, you know.
Exactly.
Eight Super Bowls, right?
No, I mean, it's eight Super Bowls, but it's multicultural.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, service more than just the people you know. Yeah. Like, have a business that can accommodate. That's all.
Yeah, we have to make sure that the World Cup happens with Atlanta, not to Atlanta. And I think that's probably everybody's concern, right?
We got to make sure that the potholes are fixed.
That too. That too.
Yes.
Or get the right tires. Cause
ain't gonna let nobody pothole drive cup.
It's a problem.
Anyway, that ain't gonna matter.
So you know it's coming. You know it's gonna happen. Right. This is the time to start getting your business together. This is the time to start getting your paperwork in order. Like, make sure that when these RFPs come, because everybody can apply to this stuff, make sure you have your paperwork together, your business together, your finances together, and that you are positioned to take this the world is coming to Atlanta. And if you are not ready, the World Cup will happen to you, not with you.
And know this too, and Greg, help me out here. So Maynard Jackson, who was the first black mayor of Atlanta, the way that he worked with big corporations coming to Atlanta, that when you do business with the city of Atlanta, one third of those opportunities have to go to people, minorities, people of color. I won't say minorities because I don't know where we stand, but one third of those opportunities have to be afforded to us as long as you apply for those opportunities. So just know that that still exists now.
For sure. So all my entrepreneurs in here, all the hustlers, all the people with ideas, you know, now is the time to take it to the next level with all this information that we get.
Who can we say referred us? You got two years
to get your scam together, Sam and Shanique.
Who can we say referred us?
You got 2 years.
We're going to say Falana told us.
That's what I was about to say. The beautiful part about this is you have someone from the mayor's office telling you opportunities for you to eat. They usually say that for the closed door rooms, for the people that put the money in. That doesn't happen.
No, it happens. Normally not in those rooms.
Yeah. And I think that we, as a culture, we have to make sure that we are using our voices to make sure that the community knows about these opportunities. I don't think in any city that the majority of people know about it. I think in any city, people who are paying attention or who are in those rooms know, but we have to be intentional about making sure, and I mean the culture, being intentional about making sure that these opportunities are getting to the people, because we need them. That's how Atlanta was built. And so we just have to make sure that we are sharing these opportunities. So I can say it in this small room, but what it really takes is all of us using our platforms to make sure that we're amplifying that.
Absolutely. We talked about briefly the Olympics, and that was a part of the conversation of the Freaknik documentary. You guys saw that? It makes some noise if y'all saw that doc.
Nope.
Make some noise if you lived through that doc. If you was in some of that footage, no. B. Cox. When we were going through watching what was happening in Freaknik, and the one of the connective parts for me was how the music industry evolved and grew and was able to really capitalize off of that moment, off of that young energy, off of so many people coming into the city. What does the World Cup mean, or how do you prepare, you know, as you look into opportunities in the creative space for musicians and, you know, just the way that the entertainment business can move and thrive in that space?
Well, what's interesting is that I moved to Atlanta also in 97. So this, you know, 2 years after the last great Freaknik, a year after the Olympics. But I was a recipient of that, of the fumes of that. I was the recipient of what the fumes. I'm
fumes,
sorry.
That's a good word. The fumes of that.
Jesus Christ.
What?
Residuals.
Twin.
Whoa.
I was going to Magic City, what's up with the fumes?
I was the recipient of the residual of Freaknik and the Olympics. So, but it was a different time. You think about, I learned a lot watching and you know, watching Jermaine and make this documentary. I learned a lot about that time. And it was physical interaction. It was hand to hand. When you think about the music business, you think about those acts, you think about the labels that were in this city, the groups that came from that era that blew up in this city because of that era. It was hand to hand. It was physical content. It was sampler tapes. It was, you know, promo all up and down all throughout the city. I think the difference between that time and now, we think about the FIFA. First of all, Freaknik was, you know, was black as fuck. It was completely, you know, it was completely centered around our shit. You know what I mean? So when you got young black energy and you got artists fueling the young black energy, you know what I'm saying? You can't help but, you know, I think the only thing that I saw comparable to it was when Super Bowl was here and fucking 50 Cent had just came out. And All-Star Weekend. All-Star Weekend and 50, the only thing that I can compare it to is All-Star Weekend and Get Rich or Die Trying came out, and that shit was coming out of everybody's car, and it was everywhere. And like I said, it's still even not as impactful as what happened during Freaknik. You know what I'm saying? So with FIFA, we're not dealing with just black people. You know what I mean? We're dealing with all cultures. We're dealing with the world, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're dealing in a different way of how people promote music. Motherfuckers is not outside promoting music no more. Everybody's on this shit promoting music, doing Instagrams and TikToks and shit like that. So I don't know. I mean, my old head energy, I don't know what kind of effect the music business is going to have, you know, because niggas is not outside. Niggas is on this. So the thing about Freaknik was that we was outside. Literally, like Jermaine told me, he hopped in his Jeep and was just driving to try to find where anything was doing Freaknik. Like, who's doing that now? Yeah. So I don't know what kind of effect the music business or artists.
I think it comes down to what your product is.
What is your product?
If your product is built for the world, it's gonna be a great time for you.
Period.
If your product is built for local, you're gonna miss out on a lot of money.
Basically.
And I think that's a starting point to get the wheels turning, to get people thinking of how to continuously evolve and grow and build their thing. You know, if it has the capacity to grow into a worldwide, whatever it may be, these are the times that you need to start to think about that and focus on that. We talked about a lot of different sporting events and how the culture was evolved. I mean, I'm going to just say two words. Usher, Super Bowl. And I'm going to just let y'all go from there. Like, yeah. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Anybody, any thoughts? Like, what did it mean? What did it mean to showcase Atlanta to the world on that stage? For people who've been, for people who've never been, for people who heard the music, for people who never heard the music, for people that may have known of Usher to him becoming, you know, this household name and trending in the streams and all that going up. What did that mean for Atlanta? What did that mean to you all?
I mean, for me, it was a proud moment. You know what I'm saying? You know, being a part of that legacy, being a part of those songs. And the only thing I could think about watching that Super Bowl was everybody who had been affected personally by helping build his career. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't help but think about KP, think about Shanti, think about L.A. Reid, think about Shakir Stewart, think about Shanti Daz, think about all the different people that in this city, this is where that was born. That's where it was birthed. You know what I mean? And I'm from Houston, Texas, and I remember when I came to Atlanta and I started working and started like making my name in the city at Noontime, there was only one artist I ever wanted to work with. Like everybody else is cool. I mean, you want to work with everybody, you know what I mean? But it was kind of like, I was not a starstruck kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like I get in the studio with whoever, like, all right, I just want to get this song finished. You know what I mean? When I got the call to do Usher, my only thing was like, Jagged Edge, you know, which I gotta give props to Jagged Edge because that's the path, that's how I got to Usher Raymond, Jagged Edge.
Make some noise for J.E.
Eastside.
Jagged Edge is my homeboys, you know what I'm saying? Like we was just kicking it and started making records in that space. And for us, it was a dream to get on a Usher album, you know what I mean? So when I started working with Jermaine, I thought I was only doing one Jagged Edge album. J.E. Heartbreak, Jagged Edge album. I'm gonna finish that and I'm gonna go back to Noontime and do whatever the fuck I was doing. You know what I'm saying? But what happened was he started calling me for other things. Like, yo, come down and do this so-and-so, this remix, this Mona Lisa remix. So I'm getting called to come down. So I'm like, oh. And I got called to do Mariah. We did a song for Mariah and it featured Usher, right? I'm not even starstruck about Mariah. I'm like, yo, I'm about to do a song with Usher. You know what I mean? I mean, because as a young person, like that first album and that second album was like the soundtrack to like what was happening in my life.
Your adolescence.
Directly related to what was happening. When you're the same age as somebody, you're like, yo, like this motherfucker's talking directly to me. You know what I'm saying? So I was just hoping, like, okay, we did the Mariah Usher collab. Oh, he's hopefully he'll call me for this Usher album. And like 3 months went by and I didn't get no call. Then I got the call. Like the first song we wrote with that first call was You Got It Bad.
Crazy.
Woo. So
true.
Hell of a starting point, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
So you gotta understand, like, for me, he's was always my favorite artist and always somebody I wanted to work with. And when you have an opportunity to do that and you make that kind of history with a person, that Super Bowl performance was just beyond, I was just beyond proud.
I thought watching it, or being there, I guess, watching it, it was the same way I feel about Atlanta in general. It's like if you have a vehicle big enough to deal with the world and you give all the best material to it, you feed it and give it the right gas, that vehicle can go. And Usher happens to be that vehicle, but although he's not from Atlanta, I mean born here, he's from Atlanta, he's of Atlanta. Because when you think about, you see Lil Jon up there, you see Chris, you see Jermaine in them socks, you see, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Nah, real talk.
I mean, them socks are the moment. Like, but again, it's like Atlanta niggas do shit that no matter what it is, it affects. It has an effect. That's all I'm saying. It's like, it's such a big deal when you get enough of us together that if you let everybody be themselves, it just impacts the world different.
And what I thought about when he was on stage first and foremost was, so there were, when L.A. Reid went to New York City, about 12 of us went with him. And I think about what could have happened, because when we first went, I mean, we were the country people from Atlanta, and they actually...
I was Southern.
They actually... You were what?
I wasn't country, I was Southern.
The Southern folks from Atlanta.
Big difference.
But they actually... Usher went to Atlanta all... I mean, to New York City, and Usher was a superstar, but that New York team felt like they should have Usher and not us.
That's true.
We were at Arista.
Arista Records.
That was a scary period.
That was crazy, yeah.
And so I was the New York Usher person, but Atlanta raised my head, and it was a really scary period for Usher because we shelved his project, a superstar. I don't even know if that's ever happened. Like, somebody that big, we had to shelve the project.
Well, when you okay?
Is that the poppy color?
So 8701. What happened was we started the record in Atlanta. LA moved to New York. New York. Home team Arista people felt like, okay, we can finally do a better job than, you know, what you guys were doing down there, y'all little silo. So what they didn't understand was the DNA of what Usher was. So all these kind of random things were happening. You saw pictures of him looking like a pirate with all kind of stuff wrapped around his head. But because somebody in New York said this is fashion. The one after.
No, it was just a picture.
It was supposed to, the album was titled All About You.
All About You had the gypsy outfit on.
Yeah. And but what happened was, it never came out.
Wait, get through the story because it's really important.
No, but what happened was this kind of takeover thing was happening, and when it hit, like, there was a picture in the gypsy outfit, right? And everybody stopped. And it was like, okay, you know what? We're tripping. We got to refocus on what makes this work. Because, again, if you think about it, what happened with Usher, his first album was produced by New York. His very first album. The one that didn't do as well.
Yeah.
But once it was done in Atlanta with Jermaine and all of us, then it had an identity. And I think that's the thing that people keep forgetting about is the identity of Atlanta is one that is inclusive but very specific. It's one of respect, it's one of, like, real culture, and it's one of caring. So it's like you can't play around. You can't play with that because people are very sensitive. No matter how much they say it, they notice everything. So when it gets off track, they notice. And I think what happened was in that 8701 moment, it really came down to, okay, Poppy Collar, y'all sure? All right, cool. Y'all try it and see what happened. Okay, try it. And we understood it wasn't, even if it did well in Europe.
What's interesting about was no, for it real, did. It was a huge record in Europe.
No, it was number one in Europe. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't huge. It wasn't a great song. I'm saying that it wasn't a song that identified with Usher and what you like about him. And that a lot of that comes from the DNA of what Atlanta is. Again,
And I was going to say, Usher Super Bowl to me represents the Atlanta story. Like, remember before they announced he was going to do the Super Bowl?
Yes.
There was talks of, is Usher big enough to do the Super Bowl? And he literally had to go to Vegas, set up shop.
It was strategic.
It was very strategic. Set up shop. Yeah. Perform for 2 years, have the whole world, 3 years, have the whole world flying in knowing when it hits Vegas, y'all can't get around me because I am Vegas now. And they gave it to him, and then when he killed it, it was like, I don't think nobody from Atlanta was shocked. The moment he slid under somebody, he slid under somebody with skates on, my nigga. Like, all I'm thinking to myself is, please don't fall with the skates. Just don't fall. He actually slid under somebody's legs and like came back. It was like, bro, he's the best.
What's interesting about even what KP is saying, though, right? This just proves the fact that Atlanta is able to tell its own stories.
That part.
We know what works. One of the reasons even we started Butter was the whole idea that Atlanta doesn't get a chance to tell its own stories. People would come down here from, again, New York, LA, Chicago, and be like, so tell us about the lemon pepper wings. You know, so tell us about, y'all go to, what's Waffle House? And you don't need somebody from out of town to give you permission to tell your own story. So to your point, the fact that we know what's going to work and connect, and we can do that, and we can do it on the biggest stage, shows the real power of Atlanta. And here's the thing now is, now the new level has been set. That is the new bar, right? So there's not just that impact of Usher having that moment, but it's almost like a ripple effect now, because now that is the expectation. Like he said, yep, on the Super Bowl, I'm bringing the world to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh. Now that's where we're at now. So again, think about that now going into the World Cup. Think about that now going into these huge conferences and events that are going to be coming to Atlanta, right? Like now that is the new level that we operate at. So we have to do the right job as the people that are working in the culture, that are being around here, that are doing the work to say, okay, we're going to operate at that level and do respect to it and then build up from there. We can't go backwards, y'all. We can't go backwards. We can only go forwards and go up from here.
I think the cohesiveness.
Y'all can clap for that. Hold yeah. on.
Yeah.
The cohesiveness of that Super Bowl performance, I mean, it's easily top five. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. I mean, other than it raining on Prince during Purple Rain, I don't know what else can be bigger than that. You know, and I remember hearing somebody talking about that when the rain started coming down, they had a earpiece and they was telling Prince, it's raining. You know, we're going to cancel this Super Bowl performance. And Prince said, can we make it rain harder? And that's a true story. But the fact that Usher put everybody from Atlanta, even though the Dr. Dre was dope, it still did not have the cohesiveness of Atlanta. And anybody who watched it, like I watched in somebody's living room, when they said it was coming on, it was like the game was secondary to Usher's performance, and we all were very, very proud. I think, you know, we're the only city where people claim the hospital they were born in.
No, absolutely. No.
That's so real.
For real.
And there is nobody in no other place than I was born in, P-102 Hospital and whatever. You know, we are Grady babies.
We claim it.
So,
there's
you know,
only one other place that claims the hospital. Only one place. I have to dispute that. It's Miami, Florida. If you were born in Jackson Memorial, I was born in Jackson Memorial Hospital. So when I go to Miami, it's like Jackson, baby. Jackson Memorial Hospital. That's the only other place I've ever known.
Well, recollections may vary.
Okay.
See, I was born in Miami, so I know the difference.
Well, I understand. So, yeah. And you got all this history. And I think, you know, with you and KP on the end, y'all are so humble, man. But the fact that y'all are still in the game and the fact that you do start, I was telling B. Cox that I have a cassette tape from him from, like, an interview he did with me on the show in, like, 2002 that I just found the other day. And
can't
the fact that he just
that.
Did an interview the other day with us, man, I think that we need to recognize the fact that the longevity of ATL – we don't just go away. You know, we don't die. We multiply, man. So that's exactly what is going on with this city.
It's what I was telling Ray earlier, that I think that is the thing about this city that I think we take for granted. That's why they don't highlight it so much. But, people like the Dream comes in, come out, make records 15, 20 years. People like Tricky Stewart's been here since 1993. You know what I mean? Like, people, you know what I mean? Like, they're... You know, all of the people who are staples here in this city, from Dallas to Jermaine to anybody that we know who are staples in this city have been staples. And at any given moment, Dallas Austin can cut the light on and he'll have a motherfucking run.
Exactly.
At any given moment, Jermaine Dupri cut the light on and there's a run happening. Any given moment, Jazzy Faye cut the light on and there's a run happening. You know what I'm saying? And I think that there's something so special about this city. And I'm going to keep it real. Like, a few years ago, I was taking the city for granted. I was like, man, I'm ready to get the fuck out of this city and go to L.A., whatever, whatever. Everybody's telling me all the money in L.A., and I fucking packed up, and I moved to L.A.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I moved to L.A. in the middle of the pandemic. This is real talk. I moved to L.A. in the middle of the pandemic. I'm glad I did, because at the time, I needed to be closer to whatever business was happening with me out there and correct it. The first person I called when I moved to L.A. was KP. The first person I had dinner with, the first person I explained my whole gripes with about life and what was happening, what I, how I felt about the city, was KP. And I was like, I'm not leaving the city. Obviously, I have to go back because I was, my party had started blowing up again because pandemic's happening. We was open. We was wide the fuck open.
Sure was.
And Medusa, I was doing Wednesday nights at Medusa, and this shit was blowing up. And I was like, well, damn, I got to come back every week. So I was coming back to Atlanta every week to do this party. And then that turned into me working on Division. That turned to Jermaine calling me like, yo, can you stay extra couple days? Then next thing I know, I'm legitimately bi-coastal. And I needed to experience that because L.A. is a lie. Los Angeles is a lie.
It is.
Well, it's Hollywood.
I want to say something.
Real talk.
Oh, go.
All right. So I want to say a lot of those names that you said, from Dallas Austin to Jermaine Dupri to, you know, Usher, all these wonderful names, and I'm so glad that Ray, you have like radio people, because those people were like, you know, big in Atlanta, big worldwide, but the portal that we were introduced, I was at least, was through Ryan and his platform in the morning and making these different entities, brands, you know, people that were making an impact in the ATL, like, seem like real people. And that is, to me, like, why I wanted to be in radio, why I feel like a lot of people wanted to be in media, just period. And I just honestly wish that we were bigger in media. That's why I do appreciate this platform. Anytime you call me to show up, I will do. But as far as, like, media, I feel like we are not, like, widely respected yet.
And I got to change. And I want to say one thing. I was in Japan, swear. I was working for Avex, because I'm working for Avex. I'm talking to the top guy, swear. He said, you from the U.S.? I said, yeah, swear. He says, and we had to have a translator in the room to talk to us, but he said three words, I swear. He said, N.W.A., Tupac, Magic City. I swear to God. Like,
everything legendary.
By the way, that's my point. Like, we have a strip club that's famous, like, that's the Black Playboy, like, that's the Black Magic City is the Black Playboy, like,
for sure.
But so for me, when I saw that, I just remember thinking, like, damn, like, we really are global. That's my thing. We are global. I think Atlanta's biggest problem is we're too humble.
Did he shake his fist like that?
No, he's like, Magic City. I was like, oh shit,
that's not racist at all.
I was just showing you he was doing his fist because he couldn't get the words out. Ryan, he spoke Japanese.
Oh my God.
He only said three American words, and that was it. I was just, I think he was reaching for something, but I was just happy that he said Magic City. I was like, oh shit.
Hello in Magic City.
You know, we've talked a lot about the history. We've talked a lot about the impact of Atlanta and all of the people that have been exported to the world from Atlanta and all the people that have come here and made it their home. I want to talk about the next things, the next phases, the next steps, the next iterations of culture and business and tech and entertainment. And everybody on the panel, please answer this question. What is next in your field? What do you feel like the next things are, or the things that people should be working towards?
Brandon?
I mean, again, the next thing is, you know, everything is being disrupted and flipped upside down right now. Like, all the rules have been broken. And I think for us, a lot of times we find out too late what's going on, but everything has changed, and like, everything is accessible now. Everybody has a cell phone. Your phone you have in your pocket is more powerful than the first rocket they shot into space, the computer on that rocket with. There's not a single person in the world that you cannot get in contact now with this little single device that everybody has, even kids have, and it's for much more than just looking at social media, scrolling endlessly, and not contributing, just consuming. So I think for us, we have to start doing more of, and what's next is we have to contribute. We have to put things out into the world. The beauty of the human mind is that you can start something here as an idea and then manifest that into something real and something tangible. And again, whether that's a business or an idea or a festival or a product, like whatever it is, we have to do more, especially as a culture, of creating and less just simply consuming mindlessly. Because you got to understand, man, all these apps, I can tell you, again, I was an app developer, like these apps are engineered for stickiness. They are specifically developed to keep you on them as long as absolutely possible. If the app is free, you are the product. Trust me. If it's free, you are the product. Your time, your attention, they use that and they monetize that. And there are people, that's one of the big reasons why this whole thing going on with TikTok right now is because, again, I've spent time in China, right? Like, they don't understand, the reason why the government wants it is because they don't understand how that algorithm actually works. So if you want to be honest for a second, they don't know how the algorithm works. They don't. It's not a U.S.-owned company. And that company is so influential because you have an external, you know, literal country that can control what is the top content on there. So if China decides that they want to push out disruptive content or divisive content, they have control over that. The U.S. does not have control over that, right? And so if all we're doing is consuming on it mindlessly and endlessly, now all of a sudden, to Ryan's point, all these things start connecting. You know, you start seeing it on your phone, then all of a sudden you start seeing the commercials on TV, then you start hearing, because all these things are connected. So what we have to do as a culture is we have to move away from just a consumption mindset and go into a creation. Because again, Atlanta influences everything. Everything that we do is the cool shit. Everything that we put out is what pops in culture. But if we're just sitting back, just again, mindlessly consuming, not putting things out, not taking these opportunities, again, like, y'all, these things are changing so fast. Again, like, you know, there was this stat where, again, they talked about how in 1990, the Fortune 500, right, the top 100 companies in the Fortune 500, like, were more valuable than the number one black-owned company in the world. So think about that for a second. If you took the 100th company in the Fortune 500, that company was still more valuable than the number one black-owned company in the world. That was in 1990.
Crazy.
Let me tell you, it's only gotten worse. The gap has only gotten bigger. My dad told me growing up, the only thing that's gonna happen is it's gonna be a bigger gap between the have and the have-nots. And what we have to do is we have to be intentional about deciding what side of that we're gonna be on. And we do it by using our credibility. Look, they cut my mic off already. See, I'm putting some bars. We're using
that's
our
technology.
Dang.
Our culture.
You want my mic?
To actually push this out. I just talked about to push this out.
No, we need this. We need this captured, audio captured.
Yo, can you? Oh, here we go. All right. We have to be intentional right now more than ever to make sure that our culture does not get taken for granted and that all we are is the consumers. Because, again, everything that we do as a culture are the things that become the new trends, would lead on. We make stuff popular.
Facts.
We make stuff popular. And again, all that stuff, a lot of times, starts in Atlanta. So Atlanta has to lead that charge in being the creators in this creator economy, not just the consumers.
I want to add to that, but all I want to add to that is saying, please make sure y'all listen to him. That's very important because you either going to be like we have been so passive, like being happy. And by the way, we're very comfortable here in Atlanta. It's a very comfortable city, right? You know, people own houses, people own buildings, we all comfortable here.
Comfort,
but we
got
to come outside. We got to come outside and we got to connect with each other and we got to control the narrative because Atlanta is not for sale, but it will be bought if we don't stand up and say, this is how we do business.
Mm-hmm. I want to say this one thing because I think what y'all all talked about is very important. I was at Ludacris's 40th birthday in Las Vegas. And Bob Johnson was there. And I asked Bob Johnson, you know, as the owner of BET, I said, why would y'all not merge with Radio 1 and make the biggest powerhouse in the world with urban-owned media? And he said that when he approached the company, they had an idea, and what we need to think about now is to be able to share resources. You know, we do not have to do business as black people that somebody has to win so the other person has to lose. We have a mentality where I win, you lose, and there's no, you know, collaboration. So what happened was they felt like somebody was going to lose. If BET had joined with Urban One, they probably would have been a very powerful company. But because they had the mentality that somebody had to lose, that's how TV One got started, because BET did not want to try to merge with the Radio One company. And so as we move forward and talk about all these things, everybody in this room, we all going to politic and build, but there's probably two or three ideas in this room right now that could merge and be together. You know, I used Thumbtack the other day, and they're talking about the tool belt generation. Generation Z is now saying, screw college. I don't want to leave college in debt. I don't leave college $100,000 behind, and they're now taking up all of these trades. So I had a plumber come to the house through Thumbtack. He's about 23 years old. Then I had an HVAC guy come. He was about 22 years old. And I said, what's going on? I went on the radio, and I said, man, this is what people are doing right now. We got to start doing more with our own people who are deciding that the college dream that we all sold, y'all, they sold us all a dream. We came out. We can't get a house. We in debt, and now the people who are my kids' age are saying, fuck that. We ain't doing that. They are saying it, and they're also saying, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it my way, and everybody's equal, and everybody's the same, and I don't care what they do, what kind of sex life they have. I just want everybody to have the same type of love. And if we can learn from our children and learn to collaborate and get together, then we can all get money. But if we have the mentality of that somebody has to lose for me to win, we are not going to make any progress in Atlanta for the World Cup or whatever else. The Georgia World Congress Center put a whole damn hotel over there. Have you seen that hotel? They just put that shit up like, oh, they say it's going to be 15 more by the time the World Cup gets here. Like, it's coming. We can't be sitting around waiting on them. Man, I can't believe they just came in here and took over our neighborhood.
Right.
Man, we got to get together, man. We got to collaborate. We got to have a unified force to get this money together.
And all this stuff is written down somewhere, too. I just want to say this.
And learn from the past. Learn from the past wins and learn from the past, I don't want to say losses, because if it's a lesson, it's not a loss. But learn from the past experiences and figure out ways to build forward. Anybody else on next? Philana, what's next in politics and in that space and in government?
Andre gonna win. We all voting for Andre. Let's do that. Let's clap for Andre. We all voting for Andre. That's it.
No, so one of the big entertainment companies just moved to Atlanta about a year ago said that it's not if, it's when. Everybody is coming. So I can only resonate what everyone's saying. Atlanta is it. Like, and if we, to what Brandon said, to what everybody's saying, if we're not preparing ourselves and are ready to take advantage of these opportunities, you called it too humble. I think I call Atlanta, like when I moved here, it was the coolest place. It's the coolest place, coolest motherfuckers on the planet. So it really is. That's the coolest place. And people here, it's so natural. Like, it's effortless. It's done effortlessly. And I don't think Atlantans realize how much they bring to the world, but everybody else does. And now with the way that things happen so fast, Miss Shanika got this outfit on. Man, they have this. China had this on the market tomorrow. The whole outfit ready to sell, pre-order. We'll have it to you in 10 weeks, but you're going to get it. But right. The point is that we have to understand our value. And it is true. Like, we are it. From every scope of this planet. What's next for Atlanta is really... Yeah.
Is monetization.
Yeah, of your cool. That is it.
Monetization of your cool. Take that with you. Put that in your pocket. Put that in your wherever you put your, where you hide your important shit.
Real quick. Listen. I just want to say one thing real quick. All this stuff is written down somewhere, y'all. Like, what is it? Aerotropolis? What are they calling it? The new airport? Mm-hmm. Like, there's literally plans out here that are going to tell you where they are going to build next. You can go look up the Beltline plan. You can go look up the plan for how they're going to develop the airport. All you got to do is read the stuff that's put out there and go get ahead of it. So I'm just saying, like,
sign
again,
up
stop
to be
being
a vendor.
Be a vendor. Stop being passive and let these things happen to you and let them happen with you.
Yes.
And people help people. If you see somebody on the side of the road with a flat waiting for them to help, you're not going to help them. But if you see them trying to change the flat, you're more eager to help them. People want to help people that's trying. And a lot of y'all think trying is opening your mouth. No, trying is not, because a lot of people think trying to say, Miss Shanika, help me. That's not trying.
Not
trying is doing the work. Trying is going online, everybody has a phone in their hand, so everybody is a media company right now. All of y'all are. How y'all use that, y'all could use it to flex, or y'all could use it to build your influence, to turn yourself into your own influencer and make your own money and selling your own products. If you're not thinking like that, you're behind right now.
Use it to follow the God Show and make sure you support everything that's happening in this room. If you were not enlightened, educated, entertained throughout this last conversation, then I don't know what to tell you. An incredible panel, an incredible group of people. Make sure you network. Make sure you continue to support initiatives like this. Support one another. The person to the left or the right of you might be the next billionaire, so y'all get it together. Y'all make some noise for B-Cox. Make some noise for KP.
Yeah.
Make some noise for Falana. Make some noise for Miss Shanika. Make some noise for Ryan. Make some noise for Brandon. Make some noise for Ray Daniels. I am your host, Tor Ray. Presented to you by Hard to Earn, the God Show. ATL, ho! Peace and love. ATL, ho. What's that, ho? Did I pronounce the X?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.